Blog Talk Radio.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die.
Express what rests in our hearts that we're not often able
articulate out loud, but the music kind of brings them aloud and releases them in the atmosphere because they are words, but they are powerful words, and they are words that just even in the words of that song, if we knew those words that are based on scripture, and those would be, or that would be the song in our hearts, then we could release out of our mouths those things that would bring glory to God. And we would be careful of what we release out of our mouths. We're so grateful to Charles Chapman, who authored this book, The Tongue, A Creative Force, and to those that recommended that we start and use it as a part of our reading repertoire, a very powerful little book, giving a natural or a spiritual truth that is elementary, and yet it is so much higher than we understand. There's so much packed into this little book, this book of truth, and it gives us a better precept, understanding, a better view of the things that come out of our mouth, and even the scriptures that we have read and we've memorized and we have often quoted, taught on, sang about, and preached on. And yet there are some powerful truths to them that were just lying right underneath the surface. And they were hiding in words that are rather common words. A couple of words that I glean from this particular chapter, we're in the 7 and the beginning of 8, is abundance and food. So words that we know the definitions of, and yet we don't have a understanding of the power they have when they come out of our mouth. The power that not lurks, but the enemy lurks, but the power that's released when we quote these scriptures. One thing I do definitely love about this author is word. There's almost not a page that he doesn't have at least one scripture, but most times in art, he has multiple scriptures on just about every page. I love it. And I love it that he bolds it so that even as you just flip through it, you can see what is one page again. But actually, his book is full of the Word of God. And the Word of God is what helps us to overcome. The Word of God is the power that we need to release with our tongue, because it is what is in our heart. There's an abundance of truth. But we ended last week at more or less page 127, right before words are our ability. That we had looked at the creative ability of the words and start agreeing with the word, and it was summarized with the lips of the wise will preserve him. They will preserve him through financial crisis. They will preserve him when they say there is a recession or a depression. His lips will preserve him if he confesses what the word says, if he acts on the word. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. Proverbs 12:15 and 2. Knowledge that we have, we are to use it the right way. This knowledge, the wholesome tongue, is a tree of life. And so as the author is sharing the scriptures that relate to the tongue and words that are spoken, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. So we can see people, he shares some experiences that he has had from saints, that he shows how the very confession of their mouths was their enemy. It was the thing that sabotaged them and their life and their victory. And so he starts with this particular one, where he says when he sees people in the prayer line and just they're crying and they're squalling, oh dear God, I want to be healed. Please heal me. Please heal me. And he says, wait a minute. Get a smile on your face, because we are going to pray and God will heal you. Now, why would you be brokenhearted? One of the things the candidate shared last night was the fact that let our prayers be prayers of worship and joy, no matter what situation and circumstance. So crying and bawling and expressing this negative and saying the negative, believing the negative, keeps the word of God from manifesting in our life, because that's the part where he says if you believe, when you ask, then you will receive it. It is interesting that these people, it's not that they're, well, I'm going to say it's not that they're wrong, but when you don't know, when you are responding based on what you've seen or what you've been told, we often end up putting ourselves in a very negative place, because we see our circumstances. Even though we know we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And we say we have faith, and faith is applying the ability of God to every situation and circumstance we have, that every word that God has said is true, and it has more power than that which is around us. It says the word said, by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And we have prayed a lot of times, oh God, you know, just break me, break me. He doesn't want you to be broken. He wants you acting on his words. Apply his words to our situation. And we know that. We have heard it. And yet we have to realize all the days of the affliction are evil. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And so these are the things that we've said and we know it. And yet, what is the continual feast? And do we believe it? The Bible says it. The Bible clearly says that if we do, we will. And yet, we don't, and we don't have it. And yet, we want it, and we believe for it, and yet we don't speak it, because the abundance of our heart is not the word of God. But I'm going to venture to say the abundance of our heart in so many aspects and situations and circumstances is what the world has told us, and that's what resides in our heart. That knowledge that the world gave. That, well, you know, that's just common sense. That other word other than abundance was fool, and the next. Section is going to talk about that, but all the days of our life, remember, Christ came so we would have it abundantly. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it says that is the way the good things come out in word form, spoken by word. It's in our heart. The good things come out of our heart. And what's in our heart is the word of God. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It says, the literal Greek says, the Father to delight in giving you the kingdom. The kingdom of God is in you. Now, the good things come out of your heart. And where is the kingdom? It's in your heart. Those 33 heart precepts. Those things are the kingdom of God because they were the words that Christ gave, the word. And the word is where the abundance is, lies in the word. And the more, not the more, yes, the deeper our understanding is of the word, then the more powerful we would understand the word is, and understand the word is more powerful than the word of the world. The word of the world, and it goes through Proverbs, he tells you all the things that were the heart. Now, the spirit speaketh expressly, that is the latter time some will depart from the faith, taking heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Yeah, and that's what is in abundance in our heart. And we don't want to believe that, think that, but we have to understand that as our actions and our words speak, then that's what is coming out. We have established really the whole atmosphere that's around us. And so I love it where he shares the fact that in church you hear the devil's word mentioned, the devil's name mentioned more than Jesus Christ's name. And it shouldn't be that way. We should be giving credence to the Lord God in heaven. And yet we can look at the news, and I'm guilty. I have to repent of that and say, you know, the devil's running rampant, you know, being spreading like a cancer. And that's the devil's conversation. God's conversation is this. Even though hell is enlarging itself, hell is defeated. And we have to speak that defeat and speak the victory and the glory that Christ won for us. We in this season now of honoring that he sacrificed himself so that we could be free from these seducing spirits and these doctrines of devils. And when you say doctrines of devils, it's almost like, well, you know, we're not devil worshipers. And yet, are we not? We're devil servers. When what comes out of our mouth gives more attention to the enemy than it gives to God. When God is greater, when God is the source of our life because Christ has saved us and he sacrificed himself, so we are no longer bound. We are free from deceiving, seducing spirits, the culture and the tradition, and just what makes common sense. And common sense often for a Christian becomes the action of a foolish person, because a foolish person is not going to govern their lives after what the word of God has said. They're not going to release the ability of God in the earth realm to supersede and overcome that which is we see with the natural eye, because they see beyond that. And I remember this apostle that came and he gave his testimony as it related to a cancer episode that he had in his life. And he shared that day and night, what he did was he spoke the word of God. He read the word of God. He submerged his emotions in the word of God. He took the word of God and put it over the fear and the anxiousness and over the hopelessness. He put the word of God there that gave him a different continent. He had a different continent. And the book and the Bible says that the fact when we embrace the spirit will change the physical. And so we have to understand the relationship of it and understand the ability that God gave us so that that relationship would trump what the enemy would do. And so, or rather, it will highlight what God will do. And so even just with a statement like that, I want to be careful that I'm not highlighting, I am highlighting the Lord God Almighty, not anything negative of, but that which is I desire to be established on earth because God said it and I believe it. And so my conversation is going to break forth from the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart is going to be on the word of God. And as I said, the author used so many scriptures in this chapter. He says, Proverbs 15:23 says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. And, you know, just meditating on that, you have joy. You have the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we have strength in circumstances when we think of, as we say, when I think about the Lord and all he's done for me. And even though that was a catchword that people said, it's a very powerful truth that we never really embrace. When I think about the Lord, not just when we're singing that song or when we're in church, but when I think about the Lord, when every circumstance and situation comes upon me or tries to come near me, I am going to release the ability of God through my words on earth. He said, if we bind it in earth, he'll bind it in heaven. If we loose it on earth, he will loose it in heaven. When we release his word, God says he will come and guard his word and bring it to pass. Now, the word speaker, it says the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. So what will teach our mouth? And oftentimes we say, Lord, you know, teach me your ways. He's saying, my word is what you need. You don't need me to teach you. You need to embrace my word. And through it, that ability is a natural. It's just going to come spiritually to this. The heart of the wise will teach his mouth and add learning to his lips. So what's in my heart, that abundance that's in my heart, the word that is in my heart, will teach my mouth not to say something because it is not what God wants me to say. It is not what God wants my mouth to establish on earth. So what we want when we put the words on him and put the word on the enemy. And he will flee. The word of God says that. We know that that's how Christ that's how he answered the enemy when the enemy tried to teach him, to tempt him. He gave him the word of God, even though he could have given him an experience he had with God. Well, I know God, and God did this for me and that for me. No, he says, God said. And that's it, and that's all, and that's all that's necessary. But so often we want to enhance what we've read with what we've done, and the enemy knows how to get around that and make us doubt, put in those, well, that doesn't even make sense, even when you hear it. No, it's not supposed to. It's supposed to line up in harmony with the word of God. Whether someone else understands it or not. the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. For our teacher is the mouth. What teaches our mouth is what has been placed in our heart, the abundance in our heart. And what the abundance is the word of God. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. So how do I learn? I learn by speaking what's in my heart, by speaking what God has said in his word. Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. He didn't say that because it sounded good, but he was letting us know that, you know, our bones can dry up. They can dry up when they don't have that source that comes from heaven. You know, the words that are in our mouth because of the abundance that's in our heart is the ability of God. And so when we release the ability of God over our lives, over our attitude, over our own, over our children, over our circumstances, over every event, no matter how overwhelming it may seem, the Bible says they overcome by the faith in Jesus Christ. By believing what Christ did, from the abundance of what he has put in our hearts, from his word, the word of a man's mouth are as a deep water, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. And that's something that does not stop. It is always moving, always going to the source that it's supposed to, always traveling the path that has been prepared for them. And we can say, well, sometimes you get off the path. He said, I'll make your crooked place straight. We have to remember every word he says because he is releasing his ability in our circumstances and situations, in our thinking and in our mind and in our heart. You know, we say that when we look around that the devil is just rampant all over the world. And the author pulled out a very important point. You know, that's what you hear. And yes, this is a time when more people than ever in the world have turned to Christ. They have turned in their faith to religion. They have turned in their faith to meet the circumstances of life, more so than in any other time in civilization, history of civilization. So we think, you know, the devil's rampant. No, the word of God is spreading. As God said, it would that it shall and that it has to be. The enemy is losing ground every day, even though we know what the Bible says, hell enlarging itself. And yet, the word of God is true, and every word of the word of God is going to come to pass. And not one dot or tip is going to be missed. And so we have to look at the words of God. And we need to, a foul mouth is his ruin. And the lips are the snare to himself. This is the amplified verse of Proverbs 18:7. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare to himself. You know, we can see here where he's not talking to a wicked man. He's talking to a fool. And a definition of a fool, as the Bible looks at it, is one who has been, who knows, has seen, and has heard the things of God, but chooses not to use them. And so even when the Bible, which is why I looked that up, because I know the Bible says call no man a fool. It's like, well, why? But understanding what a fool is then would be me having a heart of judgment. It would be me judging another man's servant. Those are things I'm not supposed to do. So it's not so much who they are and what they're doing. I am supposed to see them through a God's eye view. And God, he said, he thought we were worthy. He knows. He knew we were worthy. We were worthy to die for, you know, to sacrifice his life so that we could be free from these deceiving spirits and from the cultural nuances that are coming up every day. Some new something is being established on the internet and on all of these different social media things that people look at and hear and then repeat to be true when what needs to be repeated. And that's another area where the word of God is really being released out there through all of the social media. Even though social media may have negative things, they have a lot of positive things. I was reminded of this program of Blog Talk and Prophet and say, well, how long? It's like this has been going on for 8 years, and before the 8 years, the way it looked was the seven wonders. So God has always been releasing himself and his word and placing it in our hearts so that we would have the understanding that we have to speak it in order to change people. I had read an article where voting is a moment when over a million people, billions of people, express and have an opportunity to heal and to send healing from voting. And so these are all situations and circumstances that we have control over. So this letting us know that the way you vote, what you say, really does matter. The enemy wants to make us think no matter what you do, it's not going to matter. Oh, it's going to matter. It's going to matter because we're going to do it based on what God says. He says, honor those that have the rule over you. He says that he, you know, pray for your leaders. So that's what we were going to do, but that's not what we have been doing. And so we are repentant in that and understanding what our voice does, how it releases a truth. There are many people being filled with the Spirit, more people than ever before, just because of the many ways that the word is getting out. There are more people in prayer. I have not heard so many people indicate their morning prayer, their afternoon prayer, their Saturday prayer. I mean, it's prayer everywhere. And that is part of what we are supposed to be releasing. Now, we have to make sure that we are not praying amiss, but that we are praying the word of God. We have to understand the power of the things we say. The greatest weapon for the enemy is to put that error in the mouth of Christians, because he understands that our tongue has the ability of God. The tongue has the ability to destroy you or put you over in life. Out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. And Jesus said this. It says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effort? God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar. Whosoever despises the word shall be destroyed. So when we pick and choose the scripture, we're despising the word, and the word is Jesus. We're rejecting him. That's when we're acting foolish. That's when that definition of fool should just strike our heart to a place of repentance. God's word is true, for the true faith which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, because what Christ has done is, even the song shared how we have a hope forever. We can praise him forever. We will give him glory forever. This is a forever relationship that we have, which is why he gave us this power of our tongue. He shared out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. Your heart or your spirit is programmed by words. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And we know that. When you say it, when you got the scripture, say it out loud. Fear comes by hearing what the enemy says. You can look at the news, you can look at the weather, you can look, not the, well, yeah, the weather, whatever it is, and what you hear them saying will bring some level of emotion in your life. But let it trigger the truth of God that lays in our heart, and it won't develop fear, but rather it will develop faith, faith in what God says, even when we can't see it, and that's not what's being declared. The faith is, he said it, and it shall. And remember, when we declare that, God hears it, and he comes and he guards his word. His word must be what he sent it to do. You can understand why you would not want to do in the natural world with some of the stuff we confess about. And if we really think about it, we don't want that that is what we have released. But we have to own up to what we have said. If you were to say the same thing to the enemy and said about you, you might be calling yourself a liar, a thief, or a no good, or unworthy sinner. And he says, no, you are a new creature. You're not a saved sinner. You are a new creature because the word of God sends it. You know, not that I can see it. You know, I don't have to be able to explain it to anybody, but the Holy Spirit will give me the understanding. We can see the parallel that it's exactly what the enemy is trying to get you to do with your own words. He wants you to create a distorted, unworthy, self-destructive image on the inside of you, in your spirit, with words authored by the enemy of your soul. A good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things. And I looked at that treasures. You know, what are the good treasures? The good treasures are the word of God that we place in our hearts. The good treasures are those conditions of the heart, those 33 conditions of the heart. The good treasure of the heart is love and acceptance and giving God the glory and all that list of things. Notice who Jesus said would cause it to be manifest. He didn't say that God would do it. Man brings it forth. Not out of his head or intellect, but out of our heart. Jesus said that the good things and the bad things of life come out of the heart, and they are released out of the mouth. Not that which goeth into the mouth defiles a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, thief, false witness, and blasphemy. That's in Matthew 15. The last thing the devil ever wants you to see is the fact of the recreated spirit. Here are some of these facts. You are created in Christ. Remember, he doesn't want you to realize this. And so he will counter God's truth with deceiving spirits, with cultural and traditional behavior types. You are created in Christ. You are his workman, not your own. And that's something we don't understand. I didn't make me, you know, and I know we know that God created me, but we are his workmanship. And so what we will, as we evolve and mature, it's him that's doing it. For we are his workman. Created in Christ unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So this is everything, this is God's doing. You know, it's not man's doing. And so often we are taught that we have to have, you know, this pivotal role in this. Our pivotal role is just to get the word and put it in our hearts. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we have to meditate on the truth of the all things and to understand the new creature. And so to understand the new creature, you need to know the word of God. You need to know what God says, that you are, you know, the child of God. You are an heir. You are delivered. You are redeemed. You are saved. And we know we know those truths, but we do not apply them to every circumstance and situation and release them even when it doesn't look like that. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You, as a born-again believer, are an heir of God, joint heir with Christ. If children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And we know that. And except do we know that in our hearts, so that everything Christ has, he has given to us. He's given the ability to us. He's given the power to us. He said he will quicken us. In other words, he's going to bring us to life in the word of God. The ability of the tongue to create this environment is so powerful that the enemy don't want us to know this. And as a result, we use our tongue to condemn ourselves and to condemn the atmosphere and the world around us with what we release, because we're not releasing the ability of God to reign in this earth through our words. God is not just like the children of Israel expected their Savior to come and free them from the Romans. And that's not what Christ came to do. He came to free them, but he understood the bigger enemy. And that's who he was releasing them from. Because once you're released from the enemy of your soul, then you aren't bound to anything anymore, because you accept the word of God. And so that's what he came to release us from. What was me? He's come to release us from, you know, and I know sometimes, you know, that may be the prophecy because of disobedience. But he came to release his truth and his power in the earth realm through us. We were worthy. You know, he thought we were worthy, and his thought created a universe. And so who are we to deny it or to question it? Like, who are you to question what he has said, what he has declared, and those things? And yet we won't question it because we haven't properly learned it. We have not properly planted it in our heart and then allow it to flow from our mouth like a bubbling brook on every situation and every area that we live and our influence is, should be bubbling with the truth of God, you know, of the things that God said. I think we would be hard pressed to even come up with enough information as to what did God say, okay, other than the things that we can quote them. But what did he say that you have used in your life and you would not and could not not function without doing it his way? You know, how many times, you know, just like Sarah, he said something and then we wait, we don't wait well, and then we say, well, maybe he wants me to do this, or maybe he wants me to do that. When he tells us, I will perfect those things concerning you, you will hear my voice and know it. How many of us question, do I know the voice of God? I know I do. And yet I have to tell my heart, has to say, because the word of God says that I will know his voice, that I will know his voice. It's that's it. And so whether I can say, oh, that's him, oh, that, no, I will know his voice because it's his ability that he's given me, and I have declared it. And so he's going to come and watch over those words, and he's going to bring me to the truth of them so that I will know how his presence is going to manifest in the earth realm. I mean, I can clearly see there may be some people, you know, that always seem to have a smile on their face, always positive, sometimes so positive that it annoys you. You've been annoyed by people that are positive, like, oh, what's wrong with you? Okay? It's because those people have got to a place that they faith has brought them that they can never go back. They're in a place in the spirit where the spirit is over at, the flesh, and the flesh will surrender to the spirit and to the word of God. And that's it. That's it, and that's all, and there's no discussion. And so as a result, they have this joy because they know Jesus is doing it. They know Jesus has done it already. They know it's done. Just like the enemy may seem like he's alive and doing well, he isn't. He is defeated, and he is losing the battle because the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail. I don't care what it is like. The Bible says. So I am waiting on the Lord. I love that song. I'm going to wait on Jesus. Yeah, because you know what? That's where our power comes from. That's where the source of our truth. That's where it emulates from. And so the spirit of man is not of this world. It is the spirit world. The creative ability of man comes through the spirit. And that's a problem for most of us Christians because we don't believe in the spirit realm. It's like the realm, oh, I don't go there, I don't do that, I don't, you know, it ain't that deep. It is deeper than that. And it is the reality. It is the reality, and the physical that we see is a result of the reality of the enemy, not of God. And so the spiritual realm is a place that we have to understand the power of it, because the spirit, God is spirit. We can only worship him in spirit and truth. You know, and what does that mean? And we have to get to a place where we really understand what that means. In spirit, is in the word of God, in the truth of God, in the power of the word of God, in the power of the faith of Jesus Christ. Remember, we are crucified every day because we believe in the faith of Jesus Christ. Everything emulates from him. That's why during this time of the year, or any time of the year really, but particularly this time that man is set aside, we should be keenly aware of those things that Christ has done. We need to look at some things that, you know, he said there's so much more that you cannot handle it right now. Well, you need to know he's released some of that, the part that we couldn't, the disciples couldn't handle in those days, that he's given it to us. Those mysteries he has shown to us, and we need to be able to understand, because he knows what the world is going to be like. And he said there's going to be a falling away because people just are not going to have faith in what I've said. They're going to look around and they can't see what, except for what's around them. And my children will walk around like, oh, woe is me. This is wrong and that is wrong. No, this is right. And that is right, because God said, I am worthy to die for, and he has died for me. And in his death, he has come back and brought me a new life and as a new creature with him. And so we have to understand all of the implications of the words of God and understand that those implications initiate in the spirit realm. And so as a result, the spirit realm transforms the physical realm. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's where life comes from. That is where hope comes from. That is where peace comes from. He goes through this, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Powerful, Romans 8 and 11, a powerful truth when Christ said, I have to go, because if I don't go, then your help won't come, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is who quickens our mortal body by his spirit because it dwells in us because we believe in Jesus Christ. The ability of the tongue. We understand God has given us a right. It does not make mortal bodies alive. Spirit words spoken by Jesus ignited the faith that was already residing in God's people. It causes an explosion of God's ability on our behalf. It was all set in motion by the word spoken in faith. We must speak this word in faith. Proclaim with boldness what God's word has said. That boldness that makes people believe we're peculiar. Because what are they talking about? Do they not see what I see? No, we see from a God's eye view. And that's a whole different perspective. And it is an eternal perspective. So while everybody is trying to see what's on the table, God is showing us in the universe. And so that's a whole different point of view. And when we have that point of view, then those little things that come, those trials and circumstances and situations and quandaries, you know, what do I do? I don't know. He said he would show me. Man, I will show you that which you're supposed to do. Just walk with me. Okay? We want more than that. Well, walk with you where and how and with who? No, just walk with me. So if we focus on walking with him and what walking with him looks like because we're learning about him, then that's when the power starts to ignite the power of the spiritual starts to ignite the physical and change it. You notice that there's sometimes people that use foul language sometimes, but they'll be around you and they'll go, or be around people, and they'll go, well, you know, I won't say nothing because they're here. Okay? That's because the spirit man had the power to change the physical of somebody else. That's what happened. So if you think of just that little example, that because your conversation that comes out of your mouth, okay, comes from the word of God, then it will cause people to change their conversation. And you may say, well, yeah, just while they're around me. But if once they start, okay, then we believe that the word of God says, my word won't come back to me void. It will accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. I've been talking. So the lines are open. Good morning. What is your take? What is your takeaway from this teaching on the tongue and its ability to transform not just the atmosphere, but people? The lines are open.
Good morning, Overseer.
Good Good morning, Elder.
Back at the, well, kind of near the end of chapter 7, where it talks about Proverbs 16 and 23, where it says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. That kind of resonated with me. I never really noticed it. I mean, I know I've read it because I've read Proverbs multiple times, but never, well, Proverbs is just so incredibly rich that it's almost like every three verses could be another chapter, you know, just because it's thing after thing after thing. And I know that's not a revelation to anybody on the line, but just the whole idea that if you have a wise heart, you teach your mouth, which means that obviously we know we have to bring our tongue, bridle our tongue and bring our tongue under submission. So I thought that was interesting. And then the whole idea that all my life I've heard, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaketh. But the whole idea of the word abundance to me has been linked with the acquisition of things, the multitude of things abundance, not I've never heard outside of this guy in this book that I can recall. I can never remember anybody saying the abundance is the amount of word you have in your heart. And that's the way as I read this and listen to you expound on it, I mean, that's what I'm getting, the abundance of the heart. It's the abundance of the word that's in your heart. You know, you hear people say, you know, how much the couple that would say, how much do you love the word? How much do you love the Lord as much as you love his word? You know, how much do you serve it as much as you, you know, stay in his word? But I always linked abundance with stuff and things and the amount of things, never the abundance of God's word in my heart and coming out, you know, in my speech and demeanor and you know, in your thought life. I know your thought life obviously is not speaking the words, but generally as you mull on things, it'll come out. Sometimes, you know, I have caught myself thinking something that just say was negative, and before I know it, I've said it. And I'm not even in a conversation with anybody. That probably sounds really crazy. But to be thinking about something and then make the confession of whatever it is that I'm thinking about. And this is alone, you know, similar to one of the incidents that he said in here about the lady who was in the prayer line and she wanted healing. And he said, put your arms up. And she said something to the effect that she couldn't because of arthritis. And I mean, things like that where you're not really even conscious because we live in a world, especially now, this whole my truth is my truth and your truth is your truth. So people are quick to tell you or people are quick to confess whatever it is they believe about their situation, you know, wherever they stand, and to do it boldly and forcibly, because this is my truth, you know, and this might not work for you or, you know, or whatever, and without any regard to God's word as being the truth, you know, that trumps whatever it is that we're feeling, because I think we're in such a time of entitlement and, I don't know, self aggrandizement might be the word, where we think so highly of ourselves, and it just seems like it's a byproduct of the attitude of the culture, the way the culture has changed. You know what I mean? The empathy, you know, when you think of things like the Good Samaritan or those types of things, that 20 years ago, 40 years ago, you would hear so many more stories of people being empathetic with other people and just helping them just because they needed help. And the other person was just in a position where they could do it. No, you know, not looking for anything or whatever. Now it seems like you hear so few of that, and you hear more stories about people being benevolent to animals than you do about people being empathetic and benevolent to, you know, our fellow human beings. So I don't know. It seems like the talking words of faith has to me, you know, the place of God and religion in the culture has been diminished or relegated to, okay, you believe that, as opposed to being a country that is built on trust and faith in God. Now it is, God is just one of the options at the buffet, you know, of what I believe in, what I, you know, so it doesn't have the place of preeminence, I think, in our culture, which makes it even more difficult to stay in a vein. Not that it should, but just because the whole cancel culture, you know, is such that it creates peer pressure, I think, on what we do and what we say, and you know, just even the people, you know, just blessing their children, you know, as they go out and come in, and you know, those kinds of things, that the affirmations, people still do affirmations, but they've taken God out of the affirmations. It's like,
yeah,
we're doing everything on our own, you know. I don't know if you follow me, but just all kind of around this whole abundance. What is the real abundance? And it just seems like it's shifted. Well, I won't even say shifted, because I wasn't ever taught about the whole idea of the abundance being the word. Now, certainly I was taught that you speak the word and blessings and cursings can come out of the same fountain, you know, those kinds of things, taught that. But just in rereading this book and him talking about, you know, the abundance, it's like, okay, the abundance is how much word do you have in you? Do you know what the word, you know, when people tell you, go look in the word for your situation and find God's promise for whatever you're going through, you know, and like tattoo that on your heart so that is coming out, you know, that I am healed, you know, that I don't have anxiety, that my financial situation puts me in a place where I am the lender and not the borrower, you know, that I, you know, stand on what we make a conscious confession of who we are in him, that we are the beloved, that we are accepted, that we are free, that, you know, those kinds of things. Anyway, that's my rant for the day.
Oh, that's not a rant. I believe that as you, that abundance just wouldn't leave me. And understanding, you know, that Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And as you said, we always thought of, oh, I have the things in life, and, you know, and yet everything he teaches is that you will have nothing material. And so this word abundance is a spirit word that we have to understand. Now, the world take it and make it distorted into a material, physical world, but it is a spiritual word, a spirit word that creates what it was intended to create in the spirit realm. And so just by taking that word and everywhere it is in the Bible, and teaching out in the, putting it in our heart, the word of God, and our heart will teach our lips to be wise by using that word. And that's what Solomon did. Okay? He was made wise by what he said. And what he said was according to who God was. Okay? Even though, you know, he ran him up. And that's what the Bible says. He says in the end times, there are those who are going to fall off of faith because they're going to be, first of all, he was surrounded by that which was physical. And even the author says how bad company corrupts good morals. So depending on who you are surrounded by as well has an influence in how you grow in the spirit realm and in abundance, in understanding. So if you have someone that is speaking foolishness all the time, at some point, because anything that disagrees with the will and the word of God is foolishness. So if even they're saying things that, and you brought it up, this humanity type movement, you know, your truth, you know, that's humanity. Whatever man says is human, is understandable, and all of that stuff. So it really is a very powerful thing to have the word study. And So I looked up fool and some of the definitions and the characteristics of a fool are things that we're told, you even mentioned it, have think more highly of themselves than they are. They are selfish. They don't believe everything in the word of God. They despise the word of God because they don't believe in everything that it says. You know, and so when you get someone, even our own self, that you hear a word that God saying, oh, well, you know, then think, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. So there's so much power in learning and teaching and growing in the word. So thank you for sharing. Thank you all for joining us. Anybody else? Oh, I have somebody. I didn't take off speaker. Sorry. Okay. Well, I encourage you to study those two words, abundance and fool. In the spirit realm, as you do chapter 8, and that we'll pick up with on next week.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah.
Can you hear me? I've been trying to get it on the phone, on the hospital phone, because it won't work on my phone here. But awesome teaching. I'm not going to say much, but I love y'all.
And we love awesome you. Awesome teaching. Amen.
Oh, and I love what Elder Roberta, Elder Deborah said, too. Yeah.
Okay.
Later.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Love you. All right. Yes. All right. And it's the past. Okay. Amen. Amen. So let's remember her in prayer and all of, you know, all the Friday fellowship of love. Amen. And amen. All right. So you have a wonderful day.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. You too. Yes.
Bye-bye.
Oops. Bye-bye. I closed that too soon.